This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from St. John's Books, North Portland's full-service independent bookstore offering new and used books on progressive politics, literature, poetry, titles for kids, and more. St. John's Books is located at 8622 North Lombard in St. John's. Information at 503-283-0032 or via email at info@stjohnsbooks.com.
And time is ticking away, and this is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. On today's show, we have the female Odd Couple. Integrity Productions revamps the Neil Simon classic with a feminist twist. And we continue with our Asian Pacific American Heritage Month features with the story of frontier woman Lalu Nathoy, otherwise known as Polly Bemis, in Idaho. Plus a roundup of some events this weekend. This is Stage and Studio. Stay tuned. That was kind of fun, funky, weird kind of music. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio are Kim Bogus.
Hi,
good morning. And Carrie Sorchi.
Hello.
Of Integrity Productions. And they're opening their production of Neil Simon's The Odd Couple on June 1st. Welcome both to Stage and Studio. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It's been a few months here. So, The Odd Couple, it's a classic play about mismatched roommates who have to learn to get along. And along the way, it's a lot of fun. The Odd Couple was first done for the stage in 1965, and then a movie in 1968, and then the TV show in 1970. And now it's being done again on Broadway with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. Mm-hmm. I mean, why has The Odd Couple endured for so long?
It's really funny, number one.
That's a big part of it.
I think that some of the basic themes are just are things that people deal with all the time. There is, you know, they're timeless themes, like loss and grief especially, I think.
Yeah, and then, of course, the funniness.
I mean, they're both going through a divorce, so that's what unites them.
Exactly. Right. The things that unite them are, the as Kim was saying, the loss and that feeling of loneliness. And then, of course, we've all can relate to people who are just so dramatically different from you that you just can't understand the way that they operate in the world. And yet, at the same time, you really find them endearing. And I think that's what makes them funny. We all can find bits of ourselves in the two characters and all the other characters in the play as well.
I also think the universal theme of the horrible roommate, you know? We can all relate to that at some point in our lives. It's like it's so hard to live with people you love, you know, and get along with, and then you have somebody who really annoys you.
That's where the comedy
comes in there. So I hope you keep that part of it as well. Now, there have been female versions before, and they've done quite successfully.
And actually, this is the female version. Neil Simon himself rewrote this in the mid-'80s.
Right.
And when it was done on Broadway originally in the 80s.
Was it like Sally Struthers?
It was Sally Struthers
and Rita Moreno
played the characters.
Yeah.
And that's the version that we're doing. So it's his rewrite of it, and there's been a lot of reviewers have said that they thought this is actually a better written version than the original one. You know, he got a chance to re-perfect it and go back and tweak it, I think. And it certainly has a little more of a melancholy undertone to it than the first one as well, which is interesting, and I don't know whether that's a factor of it being female or not. I don't know, but
or maybe Neil Simon in a different
Neil Simon
time in
exactly
his life.
I was going to say, or the author having a different point in his life,
because he went through a divorce
things.
After
exactly.
he did The Odd Couple.
Exactly, so that could play in there, and but it still is very funny, and of course he updated all of it for female audiences.
And we are
characters.
Doing it set in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right, I saw that. And is that different? Or that's when he did it was in the 80s, right?
That's when he did it. And
right. Did the rewrite.
Right, so we decided to keep it in that era.
Right, which should be quite funny,
all
of us with our
comedy.
Yeah, with the big hair and the, you know.
So you do the shoulder pads, the big hair, the wild colors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of wild colors, puffy sleeves,
right.
All that.
But I think, you know, you were talking about it being a feminist version of it, and I think that's actually a really appropriate time to do it in, because it really was that kind of generation, I can say this is my mother's generation. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, me.
Yeah. I hope I'm not giving away anything by saying that. But they were the pioneers in many ways, and the ones who strived to have it all, who had the career and
the professional
family.
Professional woman,
exactly. And that's what a lot of these characters are. Well, actually, it's the difference between the two characters in many ways. Olive is a professional woman. She produces a news show, and Florence is a stay-at-home mother. And
yeah, what are their names? Tell me their names.
Olive Madison.
And Florence Unger.
Instead of Felix and Oscar.
Felix and Oscar. Right.
Right. And what is, are they still sports writer and... I mean, I can't remember what Felix did.
Felix, I think, was in advertising, mm-hmm. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Florence, instead of Felix's, Florence is a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And so then she's going through this divorce and trying to figure out what she's going to do. And then Olive is a news producer. So she's got a high-powered career on top of being, just the messy person that
so
she
we
is.
Have the career woman and the stay-at-home mom and those mm-hmm. kind of dynamics as
yeah.
well.
Those two differences, too. I think one of the other things that it explores, excuse me, is that idea of what constitutes a family, which was happening in the mm-hmm. 80s as well. You know, is it always, a husband, wife, and kids, or, a mother and kids, a mm-hmm. father and kids? I think in this one it explores that your friends are your family.
Right, right. The family can be made up of many different things, and it's where you find support in many ways.
So it is pretty feminist, then.
I think so.
It is underlying, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Underlying all the comedy. Well, mm-hmm. I was just curious because why do this? Why do The Odd Couple? Have people asked you that? Like, why, why take the time to do another version of The Odd Couple?
Nobody has really asked us that.
Okay, well, then I missed
that. Yeah, well, okay, you're asking. Well, number one, I just think it's really funny. It is so, Neil Simon is a genius when you really look at his writing. The fact that it was written... 20 years ago or rewritten 20 years ago, and it's still hilarious today mm-hmm. is something that, rings with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for us it was all these topics that we've been talking about of friendship. I think with Kim and I knowing each other now for 10 years and working together, this was an opportunity for us to kind of play with our oddness together and having us play the title characters.
Well, just fun roles, aren't they?
Right, exactly.
Well, in case you just joined us, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. You're listening to Stage and Studio. My guests are Kim Bogus and Carrie Sorci of Integrity Productions, and they're opening a production of Neil Simon's The Odd Couple on June 1st. And one of my favorite actresses and just all-around fun gal is Adrienne Flagg mm-hmm. of Toad City Productions, and she's also working at IFCC right now, too. And so she's directing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what's that been like? What's that the process that she's brought into it? Is there even more comedy because of Adrienne? Because she's so funny.
Well, yeah. Adrienne, what's great about Adrienne as a director is that she's really interested in letting the actors run with what's happening with them and improving scenes.
Mm-hmm. She's great at improv.
Yes. Right. So we can, explore and find and have fun, and she's making it a really fun process too.
And any kind of physical stuff too, because she's really good at physical.
Yeah, she'll go, okay, what if we did this? And I will say, oh yeah, okay, you mean like this? And we'll fall over or something.
And the games that we play to warm mm-hmm. up and stuff, we all have bruises and.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's Adrian. Well, no, it's good. It's good to have that physical comedy in there as well as
right.
the words.
Right.
So I think Neil Simon's just ripe for that,
Mm-hmm.
So you have Kim and Carrie. You have you're playing the two leads. Florence Unger and Olive Madison, and you have a scene for us.
Sure.
Can you prep that for us, introduce that for us?
Well, this scene takes place about midway through the play, and it is at the point where they have now become roommates, and they've been spending some time together, and things are starting to get a little tense between them, but it's... and I think this just typifies somewhat what happens between them in their relationship.
And this is after they've established that they're roommates,
yes,
not when they
yes,
first
right.
run into each other.
Right.
That's something, isn't it, Olive? They think we're lucky. They think we're enjoying this. They don't know, Olive. They don't know what it's like.
I'd be immensely grateful to you, Florence, if you didn't clean up just now.
Oh, it's only a few things. Can you imagine they actually envy us?
Florence, leave everything alone. I'm not through dirtying up for the night.
It's just a few dishes. You want me to leave them here all night?
I don't care if you have them cleaned by your dentist, but don't make me feel guilty about it.
I'm not asking you to do it.
But that's what makes me feel guilty. You're always in my bathroom hanging up my towels. Whenever someone smokes, you fold them around with an ashtray. And last night, I found you washing the kitchen floor, shaking your head and moaning, footprints, footprints.
I didn't say they were yours.
Well, they were mine, damn it. I have feet and they make prints. What do you want me to do, climb across the cabinets?
No, I want you to walk on the floor.
Oh, can I? Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm just trying to keep the place livable. I don't want to irritate you.
Then don't wipe down the telephone. Some of my favorite fingerprints are on that telephone.
I was wondering how long it would take.
How long what would take?
Before I got on your nerves.
I didn't say that you got on my nerves.
Well, it's the same thing. You said I irritated you.
No, you said you irritated me. I didn't say it.
Then what did you say?
I don't know what I said. What's the difference what I said?
Well, it doesn't make any difference. I was just repeating what I thought you said.
Well, don't repeat what you thought I said. Repeat what I said. Oh, my God, that's irritating.
So I have to ask Florence, does she do that annoying nasal thing?
Oh, yes.
Can I hear that? No, because that was always big about Felix, you know, that's the one thing that drove Oscar, you know, totally.
There's a couple of noises.
There's noises.
Moose calls.
Yeah.
Moose calls. Well, this is Stage and Studio. I'm Dima Roberts, and we just heard a scene from The Odd Couple, the female version by Neil Simon, which is opening at Integrity Productions on June 1st. The show runs through July 2nd, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 8 o'clock, and Sundays at 4 o'clock at Theater, 3430 Southeast Belmont in Portland. Tickets are $15 for general seating, and June 8th, which is the Thursdays are sliding scale, which is like $5 to $15, and that's June 8th. June 15th, June 22nd, and June 29th, and group rates are also available. For reservations, call Integrity Productions at 503-286-3456. That's 286-3456, or you can buy tickets online at integrityproductions.org. And we have a pair of tickets to give away to the first two callers here at KBOO at 503-231-8032. Now, you have a special opening night happening, too, for June 1st.
Yes,
right?
We do.
We do. We are having, I think it'll be a lot of fun. We're having an opening night, and we have some food and wine for folks who come join us. We're also holding a silent auction. We have some lovely gift baskets in that auction. And we're offering a special deal to our mailing list members, both our on our hard mailing list and our email mailing list. They get in for $10, and everybody else gets in for $15. It's a
and
great deal.
After the show, you can mix and mingle with the cast.
Yeah, find out.
How much is that one?
Which one?
Oh, the June 1st.
June 1st. $15 is the regular price for the opening night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're still keeping that at $15.
Oh,
and if you're on the mailing list,
you could add a little bit more to that. That's such a deal.
Making just a little special night for this opening. Who knows what will happen in the future, but take advantage of this one.
No kidding. What a deal. And then you might be able to win some prizes, too. Sounds like a lot of fun. So you're also going to be announcing your season?
That's right.
You don't want to announce it here at all? Not at all?
Well, we're still waiting for rights on one thing, so we're waiting
still
to see.
Still need a couple more weeks there to really nail it in there. So what stage of rehearsal are you guys in tonight? What are you going to do?
We're starting run-throughs of the show, so we're beginning to end, hopefully off book.
You looked over there at Carrie.
I think there was a mutual
hope. Yeah, it's a lot of lines.
It is a lot of lines.
A lot of snappy dialogue. Too.
It is. And it's got to be down.
It's hard to fake snappy dialogue.
No,
there's a lot of timing.
So that's great. We're looking forward to seeing it. And you have, I guess, no announcements. But what are you hoping, to say from doing this? Is there any, you hinted at deeper, darker messages, but what do you want to say with this play, The Odd Couple?
Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with, I think, like I said before, with family. I think that you know, family is what you make it. It's not necessarily the people that you're, you know, blood related to. It's the people that you love that are around you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, to be honest to me, this isn't a play that's going to, you know, make a seismic shift in how people think about things. But I think it will, as Kim said, just remind people about the people around them that they love.
Well, I think in these dark times, it ain't bad to have something that will make you laugh.
Exactly.
I mean, we all want to laugh and we all want a good comedy. And Neil Simon is the master of, I don't know, somebody told me that his rule of comedy writing is that K's are funny.
Like, yes, absolutely.
I don't know why.
They are. And I also heard recently that if a name has a V in it, that's the bad person.
Oh, okay. Villain.
Exactly.
Well,
Olive.
Hey. Well, Carrie Spurchy and Kim Bogus of Integrity Productions, thanks so much for joining us today. And Break Legs,
thank you for your opening.
Thank you very much.
The Odd Couple at Integrity Productions opens June 1st and runs through July 2nd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 o'clock and Sundays at 4 at Theater, 3430 Southeast Belmont in Portland. For reservations, call 503-286-3456. That's 286-3456 or visit integrityproductions.org. Next up, we'll hear about an Asian frontier woman in Idaho after this break. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. As part of our Asian Pacific American Heritage Month coverage, we're presenting a series of features on Asian Americans in the Northwest. There were very few Chinese women among the early wave of Chinese immigrants in this country. Chinese women were discouraged from joining their men in America by cultural restrictions against women traveling abroad, and by the lack of traveling funds and jobs for them in America, and by U.S. immigration policies. The Page Act of 1875, which sought to stop the trafficking of Chinese prostitutes, placed harsh restrictions on any woman entering the country, and the Chinese Exclusion Act specifically barred the immigration of Chinese laborers, and by implication, their wives. So most Chinese men in America, and especially in the American West, lived as bachelors, and they were unable to bring their wives and families due to the exclusionary laws against Asian immigration. Now, some Chinese women were brought to this country, and they were forced to work as indentured prostitutes, living and working under horrible and brutal conditions. Many did not outlive the 4 years of service specified in their contracts, but some escaped and made better lives for themselves on the frontier. In this feature by Sarah Caswell Colbert, we'll hear about one such woman in Idaho named Polly Bemis in Idaho. We'll also hear about, we'll hear from the author, Ruth Ann Lum-McClun, who wrote 1,000 Pieces of Gold, a book on Polly Bemis, as well as Judy Young, Professor Emeritus of American Studies at UC Santa Cruz. So this is the piece by Sarah Caswell Colbert on Polly Bemis.
Polly Bemis was sold for 2 bags of seed to bandits by her family during a time of famine, and she was brought here and auctioned off in San Francisco.
Thousand Pieces of Gold tells the story of Polly Bemis, starting from when she was Lulu Nathoy, born in northern China, and sold by her family to bandits, and then brought to America and auctioned off as a slave, taken up to the mining camps of Idaho, winning her freedom through a poker game, and then ending up with her husband on the River of No Return.
Through a gray haze of cigar smoke, she looked down at the men crowded into the saloon. Bearded demon miners in faded flannel shirts and worn corduroy pants stuffed into heavy, mud-caked boots. Smooth-faced Chinese in traditional blue cotton jackets and pants, or full-sleeved, long-tailed Chinese shirts hanging out over coarse demon trousers. They were all the same, hungry, like the coyotes she heard howling in the night. And she was their prey.
Warren's Idaho at that time was a mining camp. There were probably a dozen white women to 1,000 white men and another 1,000 Chinese men. And Lulu was the only Chinese woman. She was brought to Warren's for, quote-unquote, the world's oldest profession, but she was saved from it by Charlie Bemis. I think she and Charlie had a very loving relationship. In 1890, Charlie was shot, and it shattered his cheekbone. And Polly took her crochet hook and fished out the fragments.
She worked silently. The crochet hook sank deeper and deeper, but she could not find the bullet. Bits of flesh and splintered bone gleamed whitely on cotton swabs blackened with powder and blood. She packed it with a poultice of herbs and fresh cloths. "Polly's here," she soothed. "You okay?" She cradled him in her arms. He quieted. Dusk deepened into night.
After she married, she and Charlie moved to the Salmon River. People were drawn by her warm hospitality. She was a great cook. You know, we know that she came to consider that home.
In addition to fruits and vegetables, she grew her own wheat and ground her own flour to make bread. The single cow and hens provided all their dairy needs, and she rendered her own grease and made soap from the occasional bear Charlie shot. During the spring, summer, and fall, there were only the occasional prospectors and adventurers Charlie ferried across the river. But in the winter, when the river froze over with huge chunks of ice, ranchers and old friends from Warren's would come. They would stay up all night, getting caught up on news, retelling old stories, playing poker, eating, and drinking whiskey made from her own rye and hops. Then Charlie would bring out his fiddle, and there would be singing and sometimes dancing, and for days their snug, two-storied log cabin would fairly shake from all the laughter and foot stomping.
She and Charlie actually found a cougar cub, and she treated it like a family cat. And she nailed a tin plate on the table so that the cougar could eat when they ate. And visitors were terrified of the cougar. And she was the only person who could handle it. There are a lot of strong women, but she actually survived without being bitter and with her sense of compassion intact.
These women were in some ways the lifeline for supporting their families because they were sewed so that their families can survive. And they sent money home when they could. They have made a contribution to their families and to their communities and to this country that, you know, most people would not be willing to acknowledge.
Birdsong woke Polly. She had arrived too late the night before to see anything more than deep shadows and starlight, but the warm embrace of the canyon walls and the welcoming roar of the salmon had told her she was home.
We heard actress Giselle Hata reading excerpts from A Thousand Pieces of Gold by Ruth Ann Lum McCum. And you can find out more about Polly Bemis as well as comprehensive Asian American history at crossingeast.org. Before we go today, a couple of announcements. Silence, a play by Moira Buffini, opened last weekend. It's directed by Julie Akers, one of Portland's more creative directors, Julie Akers. Silence is set amid the chaos of Viking raids and the end of the millennium panic. And it's about Silence, the young lord of Cumbria, who's forced to marry a feisty French princess at the behest of the English king. On their wedding night, both are horrified to discover things are not what they seem to be. And it's full of humor and sexual politics, and Silence resonates disturbingly in our own age of holy war. It's the winner of the Susan Smith Blackburn Award, very much coveted by women, and Silence was originally commissioned by the Royal National Theatre Studio. Silence runs till June 24th, Thursday through Saturdays at 8 o'clock. Tickets are $15 to $18, and there's a pay what you will on Thursdays, May 25th, June 8th, and 15th. All shows are at the Backdoor Theater at 4319 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. That's directly behind the Common Grounds Coffee House. And for reservations, call 503-784-7316. That's 784-7316. Also happening this weekend at Portland State University, Charles Mee's Big Love. It's directed by an award-winning director, Devin Allen, who's new to Portland audiences, and she's brought her company with her, Our Shoes Are Red, the Performance Lab, that's what it's called, to work with PSU on this production. Big Love is set in an idyllic Italian villa. 50 brides forced into arranged marriages flee from Greece and seek asylum at the villa. The 50 jilted grooms follow them, and thus ensues a retelling of one of the oldest plays in the world. It's a twist on a Greek play, The Suppliant Women by Aeschylus. Big Love is opening with previews Thursday. That's this Thursday, May 25th at 7:30, and runs through Saturday, June 3rd. All performances are at PSU's Lincoln Hall on 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. Tickets are $3.50 to $9. What a steal. And they're available by calling 503-725-3307. That's 725-3307. And that's it for Stage and Studio this week. Next week, we devote 1 hour to a Memorial Day special, a documentary about those who have died in Iraq. It's called Taken Too Soon, The Cost of War. I hope you'll listen. It's a magnificent piece. Till then, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
An announcement for a special screening of Italian video Immaculate Rebellion about the mass reoccupation of an evicted protest camp in the Alpine Susa Valley on December 8, 2005, and the rising popular struggle against a corrupt pork barrel high-speed train project, presented by former Portland activist Paul Rowland, with discussion of issue and its relation to current Italian politics to follow. It's at the new Laughing Horse Books location, 12 Northeast 10th, just off of Burnside. That's Tuesday, May 23rd, 7 p.m., Immaculate Rebellion. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!